The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, good morning, 1380 WPHM. Paul Miller is off today. Caleb Gordon filling in, and as we like to do here between the holidays on the WPHM Morning Show, we like to look back at the year 2021, the year that was. Familiar voice that you hear on WPHM every weekday morning, right before this program, is the voice of the one and only Michael Toscano, host of First Light. Through the good and the bad, all through the pandemic, you've been keeping us abreast of the other ever-changing world that we seem to be living in these days.
I know. You may notice I never get to take a day off. That's because it's been that kind of a year, you know?
Well, Michael, you put together a nice list here, and we've been listening to your program and the Week in Review program Sunday mornings here on WPHM as you kind of count down some of the biggest stories of the year yourself. As we're looking through the list here, there's quite a lot of things I want to get to, but on the COVID topic for a minute, I want to talk about this Delta variant and now, most recently, the Omicron variant. If 2020 was the year of COVID-19, then 2021 seemed to be the year of the variants, right, Michael?
Absolutely. I think we were surprised. You may remember there was about a two-week period, I think back around July 4th, because the president had talked about we're going to try to have a normal July 4th. We had about 2 weeks where we felt it's, you know, we've come through the worst of it and we can now relax a little bit. A lot of the places that were closed opened up. A lot of the places that had mask mandates said you don't have to wear a mask if you've been vaccinated. I could remember going back out in public and sitting in a restaurant and being able to take the mask off, or going into the, you know, to do the weekly shopping and not wearing a mask in there. And that lasted for 2 weeks, and then bang, the Delta variant appeared and we were told it's coming, it's fast, it's more transmissible, and you got to suit back up again. And we were right back in the middle of not quite a shutdown, because we, you know, with the vaccines, that's not quite as necessary. But now the Delta variant replaced whatever the one was before, and, you know, filled up hospitals. And then this new one comes along just when the Delta variant may be reaching its saturation point. A new one comes along, which is going to gobble up all the energy, which will replace it. And it looks like we're going to have a very rough January with hospitals being filled. The one good thing about this new one is that even though it's something like 37 times more transmissible and can get around some of the vaccines, not all of them. I think the Modernas, if you've been boosted and had the two shots, it's like about 80% effective at keeping you from getting sick. And if you do get sick now with the vaccines, you're less likely to die or get a serious illness, but it's rampaging already in spreading. But as I say, the good news is it doesn't seem to have as serious a result on people. And that's what I mean when I say it's going to be with us probably forever in some manageable form, and I think wearing masks is never going to go completely away.
One of the nuggets here, Michael, that came up over this past year, and when you think about it, it doesn't seem too surprising, although it is kind of sad. The drop in life expectancy in the U.S., for the longest time, it's been going up and up, but that wasn't the case this past year.
I know. It was frightening. I mean, the average life expectancy fell by about a year and a half. And the last time that happened was, I think, during World War II. And that's because so many, of our service people were being killed overseas. And that is an amazing thing, because we've always thought that as time goes on, life gets better, life gets longer, we have better lives than our parents will, and especially the life expectancy, which in my own lifetime, and I'm probably older than you are, but in my own lifetime, it's increased pretty dramatically. And so that is it's a very important thing that did not get all that much attention. And I'm hoping that once we get past the stage of these variants killing as many people as they killed, because, you know, we're up, you know, when you start getting to the 800,000 mark, which we passed a couple of weeks ago, You know, we're going to close in on 1 million Americans who died from this illness. And that's an astounding figure because remember, I can remember when it started, we were counting, well, now there's 9 cases and now there's 13 cases. How many are there going to be? Maybe a few hundred. We're going to be losing 1 million people before this first major wave is over. That's, you know, that is an astounding number of people. And I don't think people realize about the overall life expectancy dropping by so much in just 1 year. I assume it will drop some more when we get the numbers in for 2021, which probably won't be until sometime in the middle of the summer. I think about July. It takes them about 6 months to get all the statistics in from the previous year over at the CDC. So yeah, that's a very sad figure, a very sad number.
Michael Toscano hosts First Light here on 1380 WPHM every weekday morning just before this program. COVID-19, something that carried over from 2020 into 2021, and of course, will continue into 2022. Another carryover from 2020 to 2021 was the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd in the Twin Cities. But that came to an end here. There was a resolution here in this past year in 2021 with a conviction coming in. Michael, that of course, pretty substantial milestone in this ongoing modern day case of civil rights.
Yeah, it was back in April, and it really sparked something all around the world, racial justice protests all around the world, which is, that's pretty unusual. And of course, that's because of the very compelling video. It's hard to watch that video and come to any other conclusion than what the jury reached in finding the officer guilty of murder. And it's just, you know, I guess it's, if it weren't for the video, first of all, there probably wouldn't even have been a case brought against the officer. It wouldn't have gone around the world. And there was something about how many times did we see a video with somebody saying, "I can't breathe." And that just bothered people. It upset a lot of people and really added so much fuel to the whole movement to try to find a way to get the community and the police officers together in a way that both sides are safe and we don't have issues like that. And I know how hard it is to be a police officer, and I admire people who choose that profession, because most of them are there to protect and to serve. And you get a guy like this, Derek Chauvin, it makes it harder for every other officer to have to go out and face people in the community, because for a lot of people, they look at a police officer in a uniform and they're thinking Derek Chauvin. They're thinking a guy like that. And that's so unfortunate. And of course, a lot of the protests so much energy is unleashed, and then you have bad actors coming in and taking advantage of it for their own motives. So, and then you get people who are not happy with that, and you start to get some blowback. And so it became a very, very big thing. I think a lot of pressure was released when that murder conviction came down in a healthy way and also an unhealthy way. So we're living with the aftermath of it still. There have been other cases since, and we saw the case in Georgia of three white men who chased down and shot an unarmed black jogger to death. Also, you know, a jury of their peers found them guilty of murder. So, there will be more of these, I guess, but there was something about the George Floyd case, whether it was I Can't Breathe or the video, that hit people in a very distinct and serious way and caused this movement to really mushroom. And I hope that the positive energy from that can be channeled and the negative energy can be, forgotten, and I hope that just dissipates.
Another thing that came to resolution in 2021, and this one after nearly 20 years, was the war in Afghanistan. And let's talk about that, because it seems like as long as I've been able to remember, we have been at war in Afghanistan. And that came to, let's just say, a very complicated, very messy end this year.
You know, that was a very complicated situation. I was surprised at the chaos that ensued, because I thought, well, they've had like, you know, months to prepare for this. And I don't know exactly why there is so much, at least seeming, confusion. I mean, it is hard in that situation to follow through. I think it was back in April that the president said, we're going to be out by September 11th. And that was past the time that President Trump had agreed to pull out when he was negotiating with the Taliban. We were supposed to be out before that. And so Biden said, it's going to take us a little longer. We're not going to get out until September 11th. He had that date, and he was stuck with it because he knew that the Taliban had stopped attacking American troops once they knew we were leaving. And if we were to stay beyond September 11th, that they would start attacking our troops and we might start losing our service members again. So I understand that they were in a rush to get out, but it got so chaotic that by August 15th, the Taliban actually took over the government. The fighters took over the capital. And that's when the airlift started to get all the Western people out of that country. That was August 15th. And that's pretty close to September 11th. And basically the last troops were out in time at the end of the month there. And that was, leaving behind a lot of equipment and leaving more than 100 of our fellow Americans there, tens of thousands of people who had worked for the United States during that 20-year occupancy that we had there and now are in fear of their lives for retribution from the Taliban. And leaving a country in chaos with the Taliban nominally in control, but it's a very weak organization in terms of trying to run a government that's facing starvation and economic collapse. And then you have the local ISIS group there, which is fighting them, so they're involved in civil war. The country is worse off than it ever has been. The question for us is, in all that chaos, will people start planning against us? Will terrorists come in from around the world as they did previously and start planning and plotting against our country? We're told that we have what they call over the horizon capabilities to see what's going on there, but I'm not so sure how much that intelligence is going to provide good information, because you need to have human beings' eyes and ears on the ground to really find out what's going on. So that the country is in a state of collapse. It's not a good situation. I was actually surprised that the president was not more, in his public statements, was not more cognizant of the fact that we're leaving human beings, especially young women, who had grown up with freedoms, with Western-style freedoms, to be educated and to choose their life and to be able to walk free in the streets without having to wear the ancient garb, the burqas, if they so chose, to practice the religion the way they wanted to. I was surprised that he didn't talk more about that, because we left, especially these girls who are now, they're back, they're not being educated despite Taliban promises. They're back in the homes. They can't walk on the streets by themselves. They can't drive or have a career. It's a futile existence for them. F-E-U-D-A-L, not F-U-T-I-L-E. It's, it goes back to the Middle Ages, and that is really, really sad. And I wonder, I don't know what the options are for not having that happen. The only option would be staying in there, keeping a U.S. presence there forever, which the public did not want. And so how do you deal with that? But I felt that there should have been more that we could have done. I wish there were more we could have done about that, because that is a frightening situation. And, I have a son. I don't have a daughter. If I did, I think that would bother me even more than it does now, what we've left behind. What we've left behind is what we found when we got there. And it's now back to the way it was.
Michael Toscano, host of First Light here on 1380 WPHM. We're going to take a break. And in the next segment, maybe we'll talk about perhaps some more cheery things in the next segment.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. If we count down some of the biggest stories of the past year, Caleb Gordon with Michael Toscano here on 1380 WPHM. More coming up. Okay.